This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on tough problems on overtime for salaried workers. Department of Labor has overshot its goal of writing new regulations on overtime rules for salaried workers by about 6 months. Sometimes the issue is foot dragging, but this time it may be simply the fact that they have a very, very difficult issue to handle. Keep in mind that hourly workers have a right to overtime without exemption. The issue here is workers who receive a salary, guaranteeing weekly and annual income. Some of these workers are exempt because of their discretionary supervisory or administrative duties, amounting to 27% of the salaried workforce. The other 73% are the issue, though sometimes the classification of the exempt workers involve tough issues as well. Organizers with wildly flexible work hours and job discretion are among the exempt categories. The levels were set a long time ago in the 1970s at $455 per week salary, or $23,660 per year. So just the tick-tack of time alone makes a case that an adjustment is bound to be called for at some level. Studies of census data reviewed by the Economic Policy Institute, EPI, find that 12% of salaried workers are below the $455 per week standard now, compared to 65% that were below that number in 1975 when the current rules evolved. Where the rubber hits the road is at the level of the increase in the issue of what is known as compression in labor economics and collective bargaining, meaning the impact of other wages in relation to each other. $23,660 might not seem like much, but it's more than 50% above the annual pay at the current minimum wage, which should be $15,080, if such a minimum wage worker was fortunate enough to get guaranteed hours, which many do not. Editorially, the New York Times is advocating that overtime should be guaranteed to salaried workers who are making less than $1,000 per week. $52,000 might seem like chump change in New York City these days in the unforgiving land of the 1%, but let's keep in mind the fact that 50% of all workers make less than $28,031 per year, and almost 75% make less than $52,000. Some of these arguments feel like the tactical problems of imagining how we jump the minimum wage from $7.25 per hour to $15. In many places in the country, such a jump is so unfathomable that it makes the whole campaign seem rhetorical rather than real. It has also pretzeled even our victories into long timelines, stair-stepping to the higher numbers. $50,000 feels like that same kind of pie-in-the-sky problem, even though it would move over 50% of salaried workers into the overtime bracket. EPI found that there are also negative consequences of going too high, too fast. Not surprisingly, in reducing flexibility of work schedules over $40,000 per year. We found this in a bargaining unit of licensed practical nurses at a nursing home represented by Local 100 in Shreveport, Louisiana. The nurses make in a range of $17 per hour, and the company wanted to ask them to be on call for $50 one day on a weekend of every three-month period. Few were ever called, so for most, this would have been an easy $200 extra per year, and the union was glad to ask for more. The workers, though, were boiling over the issue because they just plain did not want to lose the flexibility on even those 4 days of the year. That was interesting to me. Maybe we should settle for a fast jump to the 28,000 number and a series of bumps to 35,000 or even 40,000 and a sunset provision that forces reevaluation of the standard in a certain number of years. It's hard to imagine the appetite for a doubling of the wage standard of salaried workers in this political climate. Most salaried workers are way outside of union protection and representation, and the New York Times is not actually their bargaining representative. We might want to settle for something real so we'd have something to show for the struggle before Obama hits his expiration date as well. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.